Jessica Yen, who is the project manager at the Northeast Medical Services. There, she led a population management project through a series of initiatives, including the creation of a diabetes health coaching program. Her responsibilities include strategic planning, program design and implementation, change management initiatives, and evaluation and data analysis. She holds a master's degree from the Harvard School of Public Health and a Bachelor of Arts in Chinese Literature from UC Berkeley. And during the question and answer period, she's going to be joined by her colleague, Stephanie Chen, who's been working as a nurse practitioner in the community for over 3 years. So please join me in welcoming Jessica.
Hello. So today I'm going to spend a couple minutes talking about the diabetes health coaching program that we developed at our community health center. And then I also wanted to spend some time talking about lessons that we learned in terms of translating evidence-based interventions into programs at a community health center, and also thinking about lessons that we learned in terms of getting really solid program uptake at the community organization level. So a little background on the organization, Northeast Medical Services. It's a multi-site community health center in San Francisco. We mostly serve the low-income immigrant Asian population. And at the clinic within NEMS where we developed this program, the clinic had 6 adult medicine providers, 1 medical assistant working with each provider, a nurse manager, and then we developed a brand new position, which was a health coach position. So it's 1 full-time staff devoted entirely to health coaching. We trained 4 medical assistants to split this 1 full-time role. When we were looking through the scientific literature for different interventions we might use in this program, we really came across 2 that we honed in on that would work well in a low-resource environment as ours. The first is this idea of panel management. So what you're doing is you're monitoring your entire population of patients to see who is out of care, and then you proactively reach out to them to bring them back into care. The second model that we use is based on Tom Bodenheimer's work at UCSF. It's his health coaching model, and what it is, it's a combination of basic health education and also providing self-management support to patients so that they can become more engaged in managing their own chronic conditions. And the way that played out for us is that we kind of broke down the program into 4 major activities. The one on top, the blue one, that's our panel management. And so the health coaches would monitor a list of diabetic patients. And then if they identified any patients that were out of care, they would make outreach calls to them to schedule visits for them to come back and see their provider. They would also use standing orders to order overdue exams, tests, et cetera, and have the patient complete those before their visit. The other 3 activities that you see, it's a combination of working in clinic with patients either before or after their provider visit, and then also some follow-up touches by phone call if patients needed additional support. These are preliminary results, but basically when you're in, you can see we're looking at improved testing rates for major kind of indicators for diabetes. And then again, this is also preliminary, but we were starting to see improvements in terms of control for blood glucose levels and also cholesterol levels for our diabetic patients. And I should mention that this program was a pilot / program design implementation. So our health coaching, education, self-management activities didn't start taking place until about 4 or 5 months into the program. And so this kind of second piece of it in terms of thinking about translating evidence-based interventions into practice, there's kind of 4 points that I wanted to touch upon. The first 2 think more about kind of the translation process and also getting really solid uptake for your program in a clinic. The third is critically examining the role that data can play in program design, program monitoring, program evaluation, and then spend the last couple minutes kind of sharing some lessons that we learned about working with our population of patients. So this here is kind of our core implementation team. And what I wanted to point out here was that, you know, when you're talking about developing a new role in clinic, I mean, you're fundamentally changing the way that things operate in clinic, right? And so for me, what I found was in this process, it's really important to pay attention to 2 different structures in clinic. The first is what I think of as the formal power structure. So the provider on the far right, Dr. Lee, he's the site director, associate medical director. And having his buy-in and leadership for the project was really important. And so what he did was, even before before the program launched, she started talking at the monthly clinic meetings to staff about this is what health reform is, it's what it means for our clinic, this is what a patient-centered medical home is. We're going to be launching this diabetes program. It fits in really well with these initiatives and directions for healthcare. And then basically at almost every subsequent clinic monthly meeting, he would give us time to present updates and also ask questions and get feedback. And he was also good about if there were resistant providers, reaching out to them one-on-one to try to bring them into the program. So that's the first thing. The second thing, though, that I would say is important to pay attention to is what I would call kind of the informal social structure in an organization, and it usually does not map onto your formal organizational chart. And so what I mean by that is if you think to your peers, right, you have some peers among your colleagues who just their opinion carries more weight, right? Like maybe they're considered very knowledgeable, or maybe they're very open to new ideas and incredibly enthusiastic, and it's their energy that will push forward a lot of different initiatives. And so really when you think about designing and implementing programs, it is really important to have the support of both types of leaders, but also, if possible, the active participation. And so Stephanie Chen, who's here in the audience today, she is a nurse practitioner. She also has a master's in public health, and she was our clinical champion for the project. She had 8 dedicated hours of administrative time to work on developing and implementing this program and other initiatives we had going on. And so she was also really good about informally reaching out to her peers and saying, hey, this is, you know, a really great thing that the coaches did with my patients. Are you working with them? What's going well? What's not going well? Do you have any questions? Let me go ahead and answer those. And I think also for the providers on the team, it was helpful to have an administrative champion, both in terms of, like, securing resources, doing project management, helping with the research, doing the data analysis, but also advocating for the project on the administrative side so that we could be sure that in terms of the larger organizational direction and strategic initiatives, the program was firmly embedded within that as a very important component of where the organization was going in the future. So that's kind of on the macro level. Thinking more closely about how to get solid uptake within your organization. We did this thing that, this is the phrase that we've coined, it's called personalized integration. And basically what it was that Stephanie worked really closely with each of the health coaches to analyze the communication style, the work style, and the workflow of every single provider and clinic to say, how do we make sure that we're getting in to touch the patients of all of our providers? And how might we think about tweaking or changing our program design to make sure that we are not only reaching as many patients as possible, but as many providers' patients as possible. And, you know, I mean, you can do things that I did, like create these cute little signs you put up in clinic, remind providers that the program is there, but I think this process of personalized integration is actually carries a lot more impact in terms of getting solid uptake. Kind of on a related note is the fact that we were using real-time data from our electronic health records system. And I think that was really powerful, especially for our monitoring and evaluation purposes, because that meant that we could start getting preliminary results early. And so we were not shy about sharing data early, sharing it often in the clinic meetings. And, you know, for some providers, actually seeing results for their patients is what is going to get them to buy in, right? And we would also post this data in clinic and update it regularly. And on the monitoring side of things, I would say that, you know, if you have an evidence-based intervention, it gives you some idea of what kind of impact you can expect, right? And then working backwards from there, you start to think about, well, on a monitoring side of things, like what number of touches, what degree of touches do we think it's going to take to get patients to that level? And then you look at your monitoring data and you say, are we reaching those numbers? If we are, that's great. If we're not, then we need to be thinking about how do we, again, tweak or change our program design so that we can start getting to the point where we think we will get the reach within the program so that we can get the impact that we are looking for. And so kind of as an example of that, for supervisory purposes, for quality assurance purposes, I was monitoring the follow-up phone call documentation in our electronic health records. But what that also told me is it told me how many patients were being referred to the program, and it also told me which providers were referring patients in to get follow-up phone calls, right? So then you can take a step back and look and say, for the providers who are not referring in, are they using the program in some other way? And so that loops back again to the personalized integration. And, you know, I mean, Another thing that we did was we said, well, let's just put that data up in clinic. So, you know, a little bit of friendly competition, try to get people referring to the program, and honestly, no provider wants their name up in clinic with a zero next to it. And so, you know, like at the beginning of things, when you're trying to set new behavior patterns because we're changing the way things are done in clinic, this can just, you know, be like a little bit of an additional motivator for some people. Finally, kind of shifting gears and thinking about our patients, you know, it's a low-income immigrant Asian population. Health literacy is certainly a big issue, not even just thinking about their limited English abilities, but for many of our patients, they fall in that range of education level somewhere between grade 7 and grade 12 in their own native language. And so, luckily for us, just about every provider in clinic and certainly every medical assistant speaks at least one Asian dialect, if not more. And so there was some cultural linguistic competency that was already built in, but we also made sure to be very intentional about tailoring what we were talking about to the Asian population and also using good health literacy tenets to guide the materials that we created, for example. And so a lot of visuals, really helpful. Focusing information on what patients need to know to inform what they are supposed to do next, we found really helpful as well. And kind of related to this idea is, you know, recognizing the fact that there's only so much information that our patients can really absorb at one time. And this is, you know, certainly true for me as well. I'm sure it's true for many people in the audience. And so what we did was early on we recognized, okay, these are our patients, right? They are going to be coming back to us multiple times. They have a chronic condition. So we don't have to do everything at once. Let's think about ways to chunk the information and sequence it so that it's manageable for patients. And so what we actually did was we created a protocol that made very clear to everyone in clinic so we could all be on the same page about what exact information we were covering and in what order. And so working together with the providers on the team, it became pretty clear that, you know, medications is really important for our patients because what happens with a lot of Asian patients is, you know, their idea is to go to the doctor when you're sick. It's not to go to the doctor to stay well. So the idea that you have a chronic condition that you have to go back for, the idea that you have to take medications for the rest of your life is foreign to some of them. And so a lot of our patients, they'll say, you know, I've got this big white pill and I've got this little blue pill and I don't quite know when I'm supposed to take it or what it's for. And so it was decided that, you know, for patients to understand medications, that was kind of the first thing that providers wanted their patients to know. So that's the first step in the protocol. If the patient is okay with that, then you take a step back and say, you know, do you know what diabetes is, what an A1C is, do you know what your lab values are, do you know what your goals are? And then from there, working on nutrition, and then the final step in the protocol was physical activity. And the goal was for health coaches to work with patients in anywhere from 10 to 25-minute sessions. And again, doing that either before or after the provider visit. And then the goal also was for health coaches to do a combination of providing education, but then also doing some goal setting so that patients could begin to take that information that they had just learned and figure out how they were going to incorporate it into their daily lives. Okay, so that was a lot of information. I went through it kind of fast. I just wanted to acknowledge that this was a project that was really a group effort and a lot of hard work by both our health coaches, but also by our steering committee. And, you know, really, I think for Stephanie and I, the joy in this kind of work is thinking about, you know, that there are interventions that work, and how can we make it work for our patients? How can we bring it to the greatest number of patients possible? And so definitely welcome questions now or in the future. So thank you.